Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. I'm the Bill Arnold part of that little sentence. I am awfully glad you joined me today. We have a fantastic hour coming up. But before I get to my special in-studio guest, I want to start with a passage from Psalm chapter 86, verse 5. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. And we're going to be talking about trauma today, and I've had enough shows and enough guests on where we have talked about difficult issues, and my listeners have responded with their personal trauma, and it's real and palpable, and it might have been something that happened to you 35 years ago, and when you get on the show, the tears stream down your cheeks, I can tell, and I'm realizing what a serious issue this is, and I thought, well, what I'd really love to do is get Jody Goldie on the show, who's a trauma specialist, and she has her master's degree in counseling from Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, and likes to work with clients who have experienced trauma and post-traumatic stress, anxiety, and depression. So we're going to open up the phone lines today as well, but I want to get things started by first, Jody, just welcoming you to the program. We're going to want to get in front of the microphone.
Yeah,
there.
I know. I was like, I got to move this over.
Yeah, you do have to move that over.
Yeah. Yeah. Hi, thank you.
Like, put it in front of your mouth.
Really? You still can't hear me? Okay.
No, I can hear you fine. There we go. So nice to have you here. Let's talk about the truth about trauma. Mm. What can you teach us?
Wow. Well, trauma is typically categorized as going through experience where you actually felt like you or somebody else that you're, you know, either witnessing or you're experiencing yourself has a threat of death. But I think, you know, or bodily harm. So typically we think of, you know, war veterans, we think of sexual assaults, we think of things that feel like your life is ending and you're very terrified for your life. However, I think it's really important to think about what that would be like for a child to go through a very scary experience that for an adult maybe could handle that or could put it in context, but for their development, that would feel like you're dying. Mm-hmm. So being separated from your parent and not understanding why, of course, my brain's going to go offline and not give you a ton of, you know,
that's fine
things. But I think we sometimes minimize what would be a trauma to a child, and we minimize it in ourselves too, mm-hmm. and don't really understand that those young experiences can be very traumatic, even though because we were alone or we didn't understand what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we were talking in the green room, you were saying that it is quite common when you have someone in your office that you don't necessarily talk about the specific event.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be so counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
absolutely
why I would come talk to you,
right,
Jody, is so I could talk about a specific event in my life that caused stress.
Yeah.
And your response to me was?
Nope, not necessarily. So it is counterintuitive because that's what we know. A lot of people have the belief that if I can just get my story out, I will be better. And that could very well be for some people that is the step that they need to heal, gaining their voice, gaining their power back. That's why we have things like, you know, Take Back the Night, where we get to, talk about our experiences. It's very important. However, when you have a significant traumatic event where there was, where it's really, really, really hard for your brain to stay online during that event, to talk about it actually drives the trauma further into the deep recesses of your brain, making it harder and harder to heal from it. If that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So even if there's been an experience where there's been some sexual abuse or some abuse where the instinct might be to confront the perpetrator, and all the perpetrator is going to do is deny it. And then the fact that you've brought these feelings up have made things worse. I mean, the whole thing seems so complicated, Jody.
It does. It really does. And, you know, a lot that is kind of the common practice is that we would go into a therapy office and tell our story. That's kind of what you think of. You know, I get a lot, well, this is trauma therapy. I'm supposed to tell you all about my traumas. Mm-hmm. But I actually have clients that I've been meeting with for 6 years that I don't know their traumas. And we have made significant progress in helping them live daily lives, and not just through skills, but actually healing their brain structures and helping them be able to stay online in very stressful events where typically they'd kind of go away or dissociate or not able to engage in typical things like child raising or work or things like that. And so there's a lot you can do without actually saying the trauma. And we work a lot with internal resources. And mm-hmm. what I mean by that is, say you have a trauma at the age of 8, and it's just something that you either can't talk about because, again, when you go through trauma, what happens is a lot of times the top of your brain, it actually disconnects from the bottoms of your brain. And the top of your brain are things where you have all your executive functionings. You have your verbal processes. You have time. You have meaning-making and able to make sense of emotions. And all those things go offline during that trauma, initial trauma. And then when you talk about it again, your brain actually responds in the same way that it did in the original trauma. So all of that stuff goes online again, mm-hmm. which is amazing. So we don't have to necessarily talk about it, but we do is internal resourcing. So I'll say something, you know, something along the lines of, okay, I can see that, like, when you were 8, this was really affecting you. Can we do something for that 8-year-old? Can we rescue her out of that yucky place? Can we ask the Holy Spirit to join her if that would be comforting to you? You have a dog that you love. Can you let her snuggle that dog? And that sounds very strange, but our brains, when we connect with younger pieces of ourselves in that way, it actually releases oxytocin, which calms us down, and it creates brain structures that were never there to the calming structures in our brain, which are in the top of our brain, so that we don't have to necessarily go offline all the mm-hmm. time when we hit stress.
Yeah. Now, your field has been evolving at a pretty rapid pace, hasn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely.
I mean, 5 years ago, what you would do is very different from what you're doing today, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
And would you share some of those differences?
Sure. So because I would say the main differences now is that we have access to brain scans. So Bessel van der Kolk, which I highly recommend his information. He's got great YouTube videos and an excellent accent. He can do brain scans, and a lot of doctors can do brain scans to help understand what is actually happening to the brain during trauma and during flashbacks of the trauma, so that we know how to treat it differently, mm-hmm. and we know we are more aware. So we can, like, what I do is I sit in my office and notice when somebody's talking to me, if they're becoming agitated, if their eyes are glazing over, if they seem to be getting dizzy, these stress responses that are very normal when you're talking about trauma, they're actual stress responses that your body naturally does because they're telling you, ouch, this is too much. Ouch, this hurts. And so we change it up and we ground and we try to calm the body down so that we can keep learning. Because once your brain, the top of your brain goes offline, you can't learn anymore. And so therapy is really not helpful if you can't learn.
Mm-hmm.
So we really try to keep everything pretty calm. And a lot of people tell me, you know, well, I know therapy is supposed to get a lot worse before it gets better. And that's actually kind of old news. We should probably keep you pretty stable the whole time.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about stabilization, that's a goal when somebody comes in to meet with you or a trained trauma specialist. So talk about what the stabilization process mm-hmm. would look like.
Yeah. So the whole goal in my mind, and, you know, it looks differently than what I'm... So the whole goal is to help build the neural structures from the emotional part of the brain that gets very agitated, has those flashbacks, dissociates, build structures to the top of the brain that has the calming centers. And the cool thing is a lot of where we experience God is in the top of our brains too. So that's an amazing calming structure, right? It's like the best one ever. So we're trying to build those neurological tracks, and we do that by helping people reconnect with their body, which can be really scary for people, helping people reconnect with their five senses. And actually there's three more senses that are really cool. Noticing what's inside of you, noticing your joints that are hard work. And I forget what the other one is. So we have all these senses and body stuff that we mm-hmm. use to help people kind of be present instead of always kind of caught up either in the past or worrying about the future. And obviously, I mean, I think it applies to all of us. We're all trying to be more present in our lives. But that's kind of the stabilization. And then helping identify what are those, a lot of times people become very agitated and quick responders to stressful events, helping slow that down. And then also noticing a lot of people have really yucky voices in their head that aren't there, and they're not God-given.
Mm-hmm.
And so recognizing those voices and trying to not engage with them, because that makes it actually worse.
Mm-hmm.
But recognizing that's not yours. Let's try to move that further away so that doesn't dictate your life. That's somebody else's will on you. That's not what God's given you.
Mm-hmm.
So those are kind of the main things that we do to stabilize. I'm sure there's a lot more,
When you talk about, when I think about people that have had trauma and they don't want to talk about things and they don't mm-hmm. want to go to therapy, it mm-hmm. makes sense to me now that the simple act of talking about it, which to the average person would think that's how you get through it, that's how you solve it, is to go talk about it. But they don't want to do that because they fear too much that talking about it will bring up those feelings again. And your answer is that's exactly what's going to happen.
Absolutely. And that puts a lot of people in a pretty horrible state. And a lot of people know what they need for their body to, you know, to stay functioning mm-hmm. and going and talking about it is for a lot of people the farthest thing.
Yeah. So if we know someone who is in a place of discomfort or stress or trauma, is it likely that our advice to them is going to be probably not that sound? You should really go tell your story to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
It's very, like you said, it's very counterintuitive now. It is hard.
All right. Let me take a little break. Jody Goldie is my in-studio guest. We're talking about trauma. I got questions coming in like crazy. So you're going to have to answer a couple of those when we come back. Looking forward to that. 877-933-2484 is the number if you have a question. Or you can send me a text at the same number, 877-933-2484. Or bill@myfaithradio.com will get the question to me as well. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. So glad you're with me today. Jody Goldie's in my studio. She's a trauma specialist, trauma counselor. And we are talking about the effects of trauma in a person's life and a good way to start working through that. And Jody, if you were the victim of some sexual assault or something and you are in big pain and feeling trauma and you're not wanting to report it, maybe you would share some understanding as to why someone would be reluctant to report that.
Yeah, I think that's a tough question because, every experience is so different. And so we kind of have to you know, in some ways trust the person that's experienced it because they have to live it. But what I have often found with people that have chosen to report their assaults or whatever kind of incident they have, I've never really heard someone say, gosh, I'm really glad I did that. I have heard people say, I'm really glad I didn't do it, mm-hmm. which is sad, right? And again, this is the police, the court systems, they are all growing in this too. We're all growing together mm-hmm. in this community of understanding trauma and trying to help victims and survivors. But a lot of times the questioning can be really difficult because, like I said, when somebody experiences an event like that, big parts of their brain go online. So when a police officer, say, is interviewing and wants a timeline of events, time and understanding doesn't make sense in an event like that. All that makes sense is I was staring at the doorknob and I just was hoping to get out of there. That's all that I know. Mm-hmm. Or I smelled this and that's it. Mm-hmm. And so it's really difficult to give clear information. And in stressful events like that, the stress hormone cortisol actually eats our hippocampus. It eats away at the place where we store memories. So some people don't even remember large chunks of their event. And I think for those of us that hear stories of trauma, a lot of people who have trauma say, yeah, I kind of not made up a story, but I had to piece together the parts that make sense so that it's palatable to others, because mm-hmm. there's huge gaps. I don't know what happened. And that is really, that's really frustrating when you're trying to get evidence to hopefully convict somebody or to go through that process. Mm-hmm. So it's very understandable why somebody would choose not to go through that. I would say if somebody is choosing to go through that, definitely have an advocate with you to help you stay present, to help you stay grounded, to really reinforce that this is not your fault. This is normal, like mm-hmm. what you're experiencing and how you're telling the story is normal. Just because it can be a really confusing process.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that it's common with people who have experienced trauma to not talk about it, but to then self-medicate?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Our bodies can only handle so much pain. And when we get to a certain point, we need to numb out. And our bodies have natural numbing mechanisms in it. That's honestly dissociation, kind of that zoning out thing mm-hmm. is a wonderful way to do it for a lot of people. But if you don't have that already built in, finding any way to numb that pain is a definite thing to turn to.
You threw a term out here I want to go back mm-hmm. to. You said disassociating. So do you end up living a disassociated life mm-hmm. apart from the trauma that you experienced?
No, dissociation is on a continuum. So we all experience dissociation. It is basically, you know, when you're driving down the road and you get kind of zony and you're like, whoa, I'm in a dyna. And I didn't want to be in a dyna.
And for me, I go, I'm home.
Right. Right. Exactly. Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
In my garage. But it's more, so we all experience it and we're all able to do it, but it's on a continuum and some people are able to do it more than others mm-hmm. due to stress. And it's a normal response to abnormal circumstances. So our brains are able to basically go away from the situation in order to survive. And so for some people, that can be a lot. That can be a lot. You can feel zony or feel like you can kind of shift into a different neurology so that you can manage the stress in your life.
Okay. Let's deal with a couple of questions. A listener that said, I have sadly experienced abuse, mostly emotional, but some verbal and physical, in a supposed Christian marriage. And recently, my husband is now switching the stories and claiming that he has experienced trauma because of a false incident, and he won't relent on his lies. And of course, this leaves me even more traumatized because people are looking at me poorly and giving sympathy and understanding to him. Is there any way to get out from under this crazy making? And what kind of trauma is this layering on my previous trauma? He also claims that if I get upset from his actions or neglect, my anger must be coming from sin. Instead of it just me trying to speak up, it is wrong how he is acting or treating me.
I am so sorry to hear that. That is, I would say the number one thing for you is to make sure you find somebody to believe you. I believe your story and I think it's real, but make sure that you are either with a friend that believes you, a person with that believes you, however, whatever capacity, a pastor that believes you, because that sounds crazy making.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to stay grounded in that, especially when it's confusing anyway. So, find somebody who believes you. and who can encourage you on how to kind of walk through that with them, because you don't want to be alone. So mm-hmm. if you can not be isolated in that situation, I know that oftentimes that is what's going to happen, is that isolation. Really reach out and find anyone to believe you.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure if you do find a trained professional that they do believe you.
Yeah. You were telling me a little bit about a client who was in her 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's encouraging to hear a little bit about mm-hmm. the fact that the brain's plasticity is such mm-hmm. that you're never too late.
Never too late.
Yeah.
I'm so inspired by this one particular client I have been working with for, I don't know, maybe 4 years. Again, we started with stabilization and moved up, but just really profound trauma to a very beautiful soul. And she has been able to heal her brain to an extent that it is, I think it's mystifying for her,
mm-hmm.
you know, before she wasn't able to go more than 3 or 4 days without therapy or seeing somebody. And now we can go for 2 weeks. I can go on vacation and she's just fine. She's great. And so her brain has, again, neuroplasticity has come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's never too late.
Yeah. A caller said, I've noticed that constant disassociation can really affect someone's reality. How can I encourage others to get back to God's reality and realize his reality and not stay in their disassociated state? How do you get out of that disassociated numbness?
That's a great question.
Very smart callers.
Yeah,
very smart
I know. I'm like, yeah. Oh, you guys are killing me. No, I'm just kidding. I think that it's hard and it is time consuming. Because a lot of times that the dissociated state can be safer than a lived reality. So, to understand that this isn't a choice. Oftentimes this is a reflex. Dissociation is a reflex. It's not something that you can choose. I have clients where I can say one word and they are no longer present in the room anymore.
Wow. One word.
Mm-hmm. And that's not a choice. That's a reflex.
Mm-hmm.
And so to slowly build, again, we build the top part of the brain, the noticing, the awareness of the body, of what's going on outside, constant grounding in order to have somebody be able to stay in their present state. But they also have to be safe. And a lot of times if somebody is living in that dissociated state, they're not safe.
Mm-hmm. If we've had a traumatic experience, is it simply a pain we have to manage maybe the rest of our life?
I do believe in healing.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I love that.
Absolutely.
I love that.
I do believe in healing. I actually just ended with one of the most profoundly traumatized women that I've worked with. And she came to me and said, you know what? I am done. I am
wow.
so done.
That's amazing.
I feel good. So yes,
yeah.
I do believe in healing.
Jody Gold is in my studio. She's a trauma counselor. If you have a question you'd like to ask, give us a call, 877-933-2484, or send me a text, same number, 877-933-2484. Be back in just about 90 seconds. Welcome back to the show. I have Jody Goldie in my studio. She's a trauma specialist, therapist, a licensed marriage and family therapist. She's got her degree in counseling from Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. We're talking about trauma and all of its effects. And I want to jump to a question here, Jody, that a caller came in with, which I thought was very interesting. Let's see here. I already lost it. Oh, here it is. Can you please ask... How you can find a Christian therapist who is a Medicare provider to help them with their trauma. Finding a Christian therapist who is a Medicare provider has been a huge hurdle for getting help.
Mm-hmm. I get this question all the time.
Okay.
All the time. So I'm so glad to actually respond to it publicly because it's so, yeah, it's frustrating. I work for a clinic. I actually work for two clinics that both take Medicare, and The first one that I work for is called Christian Recovery Counseling, and they're changing their name to New Path Mental Health Services. They have a certain kind of licensure because the founder had amazing foresight, and they were actually founded to treat childhood sexual abuse. And so we are all able to take Medicare, even though we're not PhDs, which is incredible. So I highly recommend that clinic. I also work for another clinic. We are a teaching and training clinic, and we all kind of own our own private practices there, but it's called Midwest Center for Trauma, and we are all able to take Medicare there now.
Mm-hmm.
That's a new thing. We're usually pretty full, but that is something that we do. And we have, since we're a teaching and training clinic for trauma and complex trauma specifically, we have a great network of people that we can connect you with that do take Medicare. Oftentimes we know their faith background, so we can kind of let you know if they are Christians or not, and hopefully get you connected with somebody. So I hope that's helpful, because it's a really hard, mm-hmm. hard road finding somebody.
Yeah. Another caller came in and said, "What do you do when one person claims they're being abused when it's completely the opposite?" Yeah, good luck with that one, Jody.
Yeah. gosh, I really, that's hard to answer because I don't know the circumstances.
Yeah, of course, that's the tough thing about. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's hard. Sometimes we hear really, I'm going to use the word far-fetched, but I'm going to use that very carefully, really far-fetched stories. But I have found that oftentimes those far-fetched stories are true.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be careful about being an investigator and be a friend, you know, to the best of your ability.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, you talk about the fact that you can heal, which is so encouraging. And I'm so encouraged that you say that. Mm-hmm. So if you can heal, what is the way that you process your pain mm-hmm. to get to a point where you can walk away saying, I think I'm healed? Because
mm-hmm.
trauma is trauma.
Trauma is trauma.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the cool thing about trauma too, that sounds weird, but is that all the resources that you gain from experiencing trauma, like being able to read people really well, or being able to dissociate, or really being empathetic towards mm-hmm. others, that never goes away. Those are giftedness through a very hard experience that are wonderful. So that's a plus side. But I think it's important to know that oftentimes we really look for our offender or whoever wasn't there for us for them to make it right. But unfortunately, even if your offender comes back to you and says, I'm so sorry, that this shouldn't have happened, I'm going to do this, that will help, but it won't heal the trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And so that trauma healing actually has to happen inside you, inside your own body, your own brain. So healing comes through helping reset your body and calming it down to let it know that it's not in danger all the time is one thing. Connecting parts of your brain so that it stays online during stressful events. But also there's way bigger way bigger internal healing about the young pieces of us that had to go through that, even if we were only like 28 when we go through it, and now we're 30, there's still younger piece of us that we have to build empathy with, if that makes sense, and care for, and then also allow Christ into that healing too. So many people have profound healing experiences when they can know that and they can allow Christ to comfort that part of them that got really, really hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that on brain scans. Again, we can see that happening. That's a very amazing thing that happens to heal parts of our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just woo-woo. It's real.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So might a person come into your office and start with, why did this happen? Why am I here dealing with this? I'm so mad. Why did God let this happen? And now I've got all this pain in my life that I didn't invite, I didn't want, and I have to now deal with it. And I have to pay for counseling. I have to live my life this way. Everything is upsetting.
Mm-hmm.
How do you answer those questions?
Well, that, Those are super easy. I really appreciate you asking that.
I know. I started with the easy ones.
I know, right?
But I mean, I know we're talking about mm-hmm. such a serious subject, but the fact that we're trying to help people process yeah. things, and maybe the why did this happen is a question that comes up.
It does. And it has to. I think, you know, we have a God that's big enough for those questions. I think what I have learned is that oftentimes I try to answer that question and I've learned that I can't. I can't answer that. And it's a grief process of trying to reconcile with God. Why would this happen? Why would you do this to me? Why did you choose me? That's what it feels like. But to create space for people to ask those really yucky, hard questions that sometimes are not accepted. And to have the space to get angry, to get mad, but also to hold that knowing, and I'm going to choose to continue with God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where else am I going to go?
Yeah.
Like that's a lot of times the end, you know,
mm-hmm.
the end.
Jody, is there an average time period between when a person experiences trauma and when they get to a point where they can start talking about it?
Wow, that's a hard question. I think for everybody it's different.
Mm-hmm.
They say on average when you have more dissociation and specifically when you have a dissociative disorder, I like to call them dissociative abilities. my mentors have trained me on that because they're amazing abilities that you have. Oftentimes you have to wait about 7 years to get diagnosed correctly on what's actually going on. And that's 7 years. You know, so that makes me really sad. And I hope with this kind of education that people can be diagnosed better and helped better. I think for everybody, it's different how long it takes them to actually to because some people come right away
mm-hmm.
and some people need to wait for a while. And mm-hmm. everybody kind of has their own timeline of what brings them in.
Mm-hmm.
So
does the support group by and large do more good or more harm?
That's a really good question. I think it depends on the support group, honestly.
But I mean, let's just say the support group, the support group doesn't know anything. What do we know? What does the support group know about anything?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know how to come alongside a person and love them.
Yeah.
But, you know, what do we do to encourage and what do we do that's counterproductive?
Yeah. I think what any support group does great is remind people that they believe them,
mm-hmm.
you know, that their story is valid, that what happened to them was valid and it was real. Cause that happens a lot where somebody just can't get a hold that this happened and it's real. It's really hard to accept. I think the support group is so important to have fun. Remind them that there's a person, that there's life outside of trauma,
mm-hmm.
That there's everyday life that accepts them for, you know, when they're in really yucky places and in really fun places. And so that's where it's great. I think maybe where it oversteps is when they try to play diagnosis, play counselor,
mm-hmm.
that's too much. And really, who wants that from their friends? They want friends.
What happens when trauma starts dictating your life? Because I would imagine it does for most people involved in trauma. It is the main subject on their brain all the time.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that is a good indication that you need help.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But if I can't get myself to help, then what?
Hmm.
I know I'm asking kind of dumb questions. But
they're not dumb at all.
Good,
they're
good.
Great questions.
Yeah.
No, if you can't get yourself to help and it's dictating, just start noticing, really noticing. Notice how often do you think about it. Notice what happens. When I say notice, the reason, you know, trauma therapists use that word so often is because it turns on the frontal lobe parts of your brain and it helps you observe instead of analyze what's going on. But just observing yourself and helping become more aware of what's going on and what you're doing puts you more in the present and helps you know what you do need and where you need to reach out and et cetera.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got time for a call. Kathy's calling in from North St. Paul. Hi, Kathy. You've got a question or comment for Jody.
Yes. I have been told recently and heard on the radio.
You have to turn your radio down.
Turn it down.
Okay. Yeah, turn it off. Yeah, there we go.
That there is a type of treatment for trauma called EMDR. And I was advised to try to find a therapist that knows that type of treatment. And I really don't know exactly what EMDR is.
Well, let me have Jody answer that.
I was wondering if you're familiar.
Yeah, go ahead, Jody.
Thank you, Kathy. I'm so glad you brought that up because I have totally failed to talk about that. That is an amazing treatment. I think a lot of providers kind of treat it like the, you know, this is the golden bullet. This is gonna heal everything. And a lot of times it really does. So it can be really great. And I'm actually an EMDR provider. And if you're looking for really good EMDR providers, there is a website called EMDRIA, EMDRIA. It's the International Association. And it's providers that are EMDR trained.
What is EMDR?
Yeah.
First of all, I don't even know what
Absolutely.
It is.
EMDRIA.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So what it is it's called eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. So it's really strange. It's an amazing scientifically based, well researched therapy. But we don't totally know the mechanism of why it works, but we know that it does work. It's pretty incredible. It's using bilateral stimulation, which means that you're stimulating both sides of your body while you're actually able to reprocess a trauma. And again, let me just say, I have worked with doing EMDR and people don't want to say the trauma. And so they just hold it within themselves so that, you know, and then we work through this thing. It's kind of it feels very strange type of therapy. But it is an incredibly amazing therapy because what it does is it goes deeper into your body than talk therapy can. Like when I'm talking to you, we can only go so far into the parts of your brain that hold trauma. But EMDR, because of that bilateral stimulation, it can go to those deep recesses of your brain, which sounds really creepy, but it's not, I promise you. It's just because of the bilateral stimulation. And it actually helps basically connect your body and your head. So a lot of times people say, I know the truth in my head, but I cannot feel it in my body. My heart knows something different. And what EMDR does is it actually connects those two so that you can know it not just in your head, but you know the truth in your body, which is amazing for those of us maybe that think the trauma is our fault or, you know, all these other negative, you know, ideas that come with trauma. So it is, Kathy, it's awesome. I highly recommend it. I would just, my only caution would be that, you know, if you're further along with dissociation and you have pretty significant dissociation, it can be tough, but not, it doesn't mean you can't do it. But if you find a good provider, they will make sure that you are going to be okay and safe doing it.
All right. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we've got some more questions already up for Jody Goldie, my guest in studio. She is a trauma therapist and specialist. We'll take a short break and be right back. Welcome back to the show. 12 minutes until the top of the hour. Jody Goldie's in studio. My guest is a trauma therapist. We're talking about a subject which is difficult for sure because we, if you've gone through trauma, you know that you're in pain. We've got a caller, Caroline. It's calling in from Minnetonka. Caroline, welcome to the show. You have a question for Jody.
Yes. Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I find this a very interesting topic, and I would like to understand what I went through a divorce 16 years ago, and I finally, I mean, honestly, just now feel like I am past the emotional pain of it all, and I'm wondering, you know, was that something that was physiologically affecting my brain? Or was it just the emotional pain that was so overwhelming?
Mm. both, I would say. And I'm glad you're feeling in a much more stable place, because that's hard.
That was a long time.
Yeah. I mean, stress really affects the way that our body functions, the way that we're able to stay engaged, the way that we're able to heal. I mean, there's so much research out about stress and how we detox, everything like that, chronic illness, and it affects your brain. And so it would make sense being in an environment where you feel more stable, more, I don't know obviously the details, but it would make sense that when you're in a stable environment, your whole entire body is able to relax and able to be out of that scenario. And so your brain will naturally heal to be in a calm place. I mean, this is why in child development, obviously, we want our kids to grow up in calm places and in safe places, because it's better for our development. And that's not just children. That's all of us.
Great question, Caroline.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for calling. Yeah, the whole idea of the length of stress or trauma, it is completely, for some it's a couple of months, and for some it's 30 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or longer. I just know this lasts forever for some.
Mm-hmm.
And it breaks my heart, because I get callers that have said, 35 years ago I went through this, and they're still have tears coming down their cheeks.
Mm-hmm.
It breaks my heart. That's why I thought I'd call you and get you on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I see that too, because when that thing comes back at you, you feel like you're back there in that place. It is so real, and I don't mean just a flashback, because we kind of are aware of what that is, but just all the feelings, because it gets encapsulated in a part of our brain. And again, I like the EMDR therapy, because that that part of our brain reacts the same as whatever age that happened to you. So all the resources that you have now as an adult, that's gone. And if it happened to you when you were 8 or when you were 20, like I think of the last caller, 16 years ago, she didn't have a lot of resources, I bet. And now, 16 years later, she does. And that's a very different thing. But, to go back to that time and place that the trauma occurred is a very scary experience, because you lose all your resources from present day.
When things happen to kids and they don't have the language to process things, do they?
No.
And especially if there's been a trauma brought into their life, and maybe the perpetrator said, "Don't you dare tell anybody or I will do something even worse."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all of a sudden you go away.
Absolutely.
You carry that.
Yeah, kids are amazingly resilient. We know that. And they have the most amazing coping strategies that they use to deal with trauma, and this is how they survive.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the basic symptoms of trauma? When do you cross the point where you go, "Ooh, that's traumatic"?
Mm-hmm.
And when do you go, "Oh, that was kind of a bummer"? I mean, are we quick to categorize our experiences? And when do we take trauma? I mean, when do we take things? And what am I trying to ask her, Jody?
Mm-hmm. When does it become kind of almost a diagnosis instead of just something that's kind of sad?
Thank you.
There are real diagnostic measures, and I am more broad with them because, again, a child might not think that they are going to die. Or we might not think a child is going to die, but they feel like they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to kind of put that in perspective when we think about, that. But some of them are having really intrusive thoughts about the event. Like you kind of talked about, you think about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be a great example of how it's become to the diagnostic category of trauma. Or if you're re-experiencing it, you're having nightmares, maybe not even about that, but it's just have that similar theme and feelings. You're having flashbacks, or you're having just really like numbing avoidance of it, like say it happened at Target and now you refuse to go to Target. That's an issue. That's a thing. I know a lot of people who won't get into cars or won't get into, go outside of their houses because of some things that happen like that. So when it becomes, and it affects your life to that degree that you're avoiding, that's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So
Do medications ever come into play?
Absolutely.
Oh, they do. Yeah. Okay. Will you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. There are some really great providers that are able to work with people. Medications aren't a necessity. Like, I really trust the person. I have a lot of people with chronic illnesses that are not able to take medications, or they're medication sensitive and they're not able to do that. And they heal just as well. There's also non-medication stuff. There's a great device that we sell wholesale at our clinic. It's called an Alpha Stim. And it is amazing. It's non-medical. It's a little device. It has no side effects.
What is it?
It basically puts a calming alpha wave over your limbic system. So where your fear response is, it calms it down. I was actually wearing it right before I came into studio.
Really?
But
just so you wouldn't be afraid of me?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean,
now that just spiked my limbic system. Give me that thing.
I know. It's awesome. But it's a great tool for people who just are not interested in taking medication, because that makes total sense. But yeah.
So I want to be super encouraging for people that may have had trauma and they can hear maybe for the first time that you can heal from this.
Absolutely.
And to me, that's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Yeah. There is anxiety, depression, all related to trauma, isn't there? And it's kind of a one-stop shopping, isn't it?
Substance use is really big. Eating disorders, any way that you are trying to comfort your body in ways that you don't know how, you don't know anything, cutting, similar things like that. All these are trying to relieve pain or numb.
Mm-hmm. So we've got some listeners that have wanted to hear again the two centers that you mentioned for trauma.
I would love to.
You'd be willing to throw those out again.
I would love to.
People love good resources.
Yep, it's true. So one, Christian Recovery Counseling, and their new name, we've changed it to New Path Mental Health Services. And just because it had recovery in the name, so a lot of people thought we were a substance abuse recovery, but we were actually talking about trauma recovery. So that's not completely what we do. We're a generalist clinic. We do a lot of things, but it's an awesome place. A lot of just incredible people who love Jesus. And then Midwest Center for Trauma. And that is, I am so thankful to be there. Wonderful women at that clinic. And Patty Miller and Don McClellan, who are the co-directors of that clinic, they have come up with, using all of this, a treatment called AIR Network, Adaptive Internal Relationships Network. And it's basically a way of using what we know about brain scans, what we know about the body, what we know about development to treat trauma. And it's awesome.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Yeah. Awesome. Another question from a listener. 9 years ago, my ex-partner almost choked me with a pillow. And till this day, I always, whenever I think about it, I feel like I need to cry.
Yeah.
It's so painful. Is this trauma or depression?
I would say because you're re-experiencing it in that way, that sounds like trauma.
Mm.
Yeah. Because that re-experiencing of it, and feeling like all those emotions are right back there, that is that encapsulation of trauma.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a discussion with someone you love and you say, how often do you have these recurring thoughts? And when you have these recurring thoughts, what happens to your body? Is that a fair question?
As long as you're really curious and not trying to be, trying to investigate or therapize.
Yeah, no, Jody, I will leave the professional to you. I'll leave it up to you. Thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I'd love to have you back because we only scratched the surface. Yeah. We have lots of callers and people still trying to get their questions on the air. So we'll have you back if you don't mind.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Jody Goldie's been my guest. And if you want to hear this from the beginning, you go to myfaithradio.com and you can hear it right from the start. It's been a fascinating hour. The whole idea of trauma and trauma therapy has changed so much in the last 5 years that maybe the therapy you got 5 or 10 years ago wouldn't work as well as it would today because so much has changed. Thanks for listening tonight and have a great evening and pray you get a good night's sleep and you feel refreshed in the morning. And thanks for listening. And remember, God is writing his story in your life. See you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.